All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on the 9th day of October, 2018. I do like to remind you every week that I'm the author of Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks focuses on the mining shares, primarily on exploration companies and some newly producers, but not generally on the major companies, although a few of those are sneaking into our one category. There are where I think the most money can be made. Of course, there's more risk, but where the biggest money can be made is in the exploration sector. It has not been a great year for us, but I expect next year should be much better. We'll talk to Michael Oliver in a few minutes and get his take on that. I'd like to remind you also that Chen Lin's produces a very, very good letter. It's called What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? And you can order that at chenpicks.com. Go to chenpicks.com. Chen was on with us recently. In particular, some extremely exciting stories in the biotech sector. And Chen really keeps up with that sector as well as anybody I've ever met up with and has made a lot of money for his subscribers in that sector, chenpicks.com. And then, of course, Michael Oliver is with me again. We'll be talking to him in just a moment. He's providing a special offer for investors who are primarily interested in gold and silver and gold and silver mining shares. And for a very affordable $299 a year, OliverMSA.com, OliverMSA.com. Mike will tell us a little more about that in a moment or two. I want to thank each of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. Also, I want to encourage you to keep your questions, comments, criticisms, and praises. Send them along to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions4taylor@gmail.com. We do want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. The reason that I'm able to spend the time and effort to put this show together and to make sure it happens, it's because companies like Genesis Metals Corp, Gold Mining Inc., Great Bear Resources, Novo Resources, Sandstorm Gold Limited, Triumph Gold, and Uranium Energy are sponsors. Those are the sponsors for this week's show. I've titled today's show, U.S. Interest Rates Are Spiking Again, Why That Is a Huge Deal. Economic geologist Dr. Tony Barresi, from one of my top gold stock picks, namely Triumph Gold, will visit this show for the first time. He'll be with us after our first commercial break. John Rubino and Michael Oliver return. John will be with me in the second half of the show, and Michael will be with me momentarily. In 1970, a 1% increase in U.S. Treasury interest rates increased the budget deficit by $3.7 billion. Now, with a $22 trillion budget deficit, a 1% increase in the rate of interest adds $220 billion annually to America's deficit. Imagine a 5% increase in rates, which would take us not that far above sort of average rates over history. Well, that would add almost $1 trillion a year to our budget deficit. The U.S. is clearly approaching a state of fiscal bankruptcy even before baby boomer demographics are factored into the picture. But a gaping U.S. budget deficit isn't the only reason rising interest rates are a big deal. They tend to increase the value of the dollar on top of rising rates. That means that emerging market nations that have borrowed dollars are in a heap of hurt right now as the dollar gets stronger and as interest rates rise. And they have hurt our emerging markets quite a bit so far this year. I might ask Michael about that in a moment as well. But John Rubino will be with me, as I mentioned, the second half of today's show to talk about the mathematical dynamics underlying an increasingly unstable global economy and monetary system. And we will see if we can get him to speculate a bit about how the existing economic pathology will play out and how, more importantly, you and I and all the people listening to this show can protect ourselves against the carnage that is likely to come. Right after our first break, as I mentioned, I'll be talking to Tony Barresi about a company that I think is one of the most exciting exploration stories. That's what I named as my top pick in Vancouver when I was up there the other weekend among exploration stories at this moment in time at its current price. I look forward very much to speaking with Tony. The company has had some unbelievably strong intersections, gold-copper intersections through a porphyry system in their Yukon property, so I'm really looking forward to hearing what Tony has to say about all of that. So John Rubino, second half, Tony Barresi in a few minutes, but right now I'm really glad to say Michael Oliver was with me. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
Good to be back, and it's olivermsa.com, and just tell our listeners very briefly what it is you're providing for that $299 special offer for gold and silver investors.
Well, we monitor gold and silver, obviously, and also other precious metals from time to time, platinum, palladium, so forth, but mainly those two, and the miners. And just over the past week, for example, we put out a report where we went into the GDX ETF and looked at its holdings and picked out a half a dozen of the holdings that we thought looked technically better primed for a strong upturn from this hold that the gold miners are in than their peers. We looked at the momentum technicals, and we also looked at relative performance of the symbols, and we sifted through that ETF to pick out the best probable launch candidates. Not that they all won't go together, I'm not arguing that, it's just that some will go better, and that's what we're looking for. And then over the past few days, we've started to sift through the junior miners, and so maybe 1 in 10 of those will pick out as a ripe candidate, technically speaking, for a strong initial surge, and which one of those will outperform. So that's the type of work you will get continually monitoring that narrow area, but very important area. Mm-hmm. And you'll probably get a couple reports a week, not as much as our four asset category report, but still it would be sufficiently tied into the technicals of that area with that report.
Well, that's wonderful.
Fundamental comments.
No, I understand that. Well, there's plenty of people with fundamental comments, and there's plenty of people with technical analysis, but yours is the one, from a technical point of view, the one that I've felt most comfortable with and has been most helpful to me, not as a short-term trader, but as someone who looks to know whether I'm on the right side of a major trend or not. And I guess when you talk about junior companies, you're probably talking about the kind that you might find in the JDXJ.
Yes.
And the seniors in the JDX, probably.
Correct.
Right. That's okay. All right. Well, Michael, of all the major tectonic moves, the one we talked about this over and over again over the last few years on this show, the one that has been the most stubbornly refusing to change directions is the U.S. equity market. But alas, if I understood your momentum and structural work as you put out this past weekend, it looks like U.S. equities may finally be turning south. Do I have that right?
Yeah, you got it right. In layers. There's never one magic number for a market, at least in our view. You know, a lot of investors like to know, where's the breakout, so forth.
Yeah.
Well, there are breakouts, depending on the time scale that you're referencing. You look at it, very long-term charts, momentum charts, or shorter term. Well, on an intermediate-term basis, and this would be like monthly momentum, meaning trends that tend to last 3 to 5 months, and then you get a pause or a pullback and so forth, But on that time scale, last Thursday broke both the NASDAQ 100 and the S&P 500 through structural supports. And since then, they've labored below the levels. Right now, we're getting what we consider a benign daily holding pattern here after the sharp break we had up through the lows of like yesterday, which are not anywhere near as low as we think this drop will go. But we think on an intermediate trend basis, meaning between now and the end of the year, you've seen the high of the year, we think. And if we've seen the high of the year, I got problems, because next year the numbers are going to shift. I'm talking momentum numbers, because changes in quarterly momentum numbers, annual momentum numbers, and so forth, will shift upward dramatically, such that it will be very easy to break through long-term momentum trend structures that will really turn it down. So basically, I'd say we've broken the legs of the market. There's a real good chance you've seen the high of the year. There's a good chance you're going lower between now and the end of the year. I wouldn't bet heavily on a major drop this year. It's possible, and we may actually break some long-term structures this year. Mm-hmm. And for the S&P, for example, that's down in the mid-2700s, mid to upper 2700s, so it's several percent, you know, 4 or 5% below the market right now. Actually about 4% below the market to do that kind of damage. But mm-hmm. I think the real payoff probably comes next year. But from the point of view of, you know, this asset category, and we are unique, by the way. If you look at U.S. stocks versus, let's say, the DAX index in Germany, it's like they're in different categories.
Yeah.
The DAX index is trading back below the 2015 price highs, you know, which for the S&P was a 23-something, you know, mm-hmm. 2300s. So we are unique in our strength, but it's hobbled.
And all right.
The process has begun for a layered decay and a decline.
All right, Michael, with 2 minutes left here, I wonder, do you think that the gold markets, some of these other markets that sort of run counter to the equity markets, do you think we still need to see some weakness in the gold, in the equity markets before we start to see more strength in gold and other commodities, perhaps?
I think it helps because, after all, you know, it's an issue of moving of money. And we've seen it before in history. You have, and we have,
yeah.
Where, you know, you shake the stock market, and there's some people who realize that, and they're not even ideologically, you know, necessarily in our camp of distrust of large government and so forth, but
yeah.
Who see overvaluation. And you know, once you rattle them in price terms, you know, where they actually feel it, they look for some other place to go. And frankly, if you look at commodities in general, particularly food commodities and even gold, they've put in their lows. Gold miners aren't going to zero, for example. I mean, they are effectively a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, commodities can't go to zero. Neither can gold miners. Now, individual companies can, but the indexes can't. And when you mm-hmm. take something like the GDX, which was in the 60s, back in 2011 and 12, and dropped near $12 in 2016, I mean, you're not going to zero, guys.
Uh-huh.
It's a value. The issue then becomes, okay, if it can't go to zero, is it just going to lay here forever, or could it actually go up? Well, I think it's in the process of putting in a secondary low. I think that low is probably in place, higher than the one we made in 2016, and turn back up again.
Mm-hmm.
I also think this is true with commodities in general, like the Bloomberg Commodity Index, mm-hmm. I think is accomplishing effectively the same thing. So I think there is already money movement mm-hmm. from the equity category into what's can be perceived as value.
Right. Probably the smart money, the people that are ahead of the curve, as opposed to the general populace, which almost always are the ones that get hurt the most at the top of the market. So such is life, and what we try to do on this show, of course, is to help people not be among that common denominator, the larger group of people. Michael, you've always very helpful to us. Thank you so much for your time again.
Thank you, Jay.
We'll look forward to talking to you again next week, assuming you're available. So thank you very much. Well, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away, because Dr. Tony Barresi of Triumph Gold will be with me for the first time. I'm really looking forward to hearing what he has to say, in as much as Triumph Gold has become one of my favorite exploration stories. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Barresi.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdies Reward Project. In addition, Noble has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Noble is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.